when the federal government makes an unconstitutional law or mandate, it doesn't just affect Tennessee, it affects every state.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Rebecca Terrell with The New American, and with me today in the spotlight is Karen Bracken, co-founder of Tennessee Citizens for State Sovereignty. Her group has drafted legislation to create a process to invoke nullification in her state, and she also contributes to a weekly podcast called Tennessee Informer. The focus of that is educating Tennesseans on the Constitution, especially the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights, and on the principle of nullification. Welcome, Karen, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's quite an honor.
It's great to see you. It's great to meet you. And I admire so greatly what you are working toward, because this is the fundamentally important issue in our country today. So let's first, for our listeners, define nullification and discuss its importance.
Well, nullification is just basically the act of refusing to comply with unconstitutional laws, rules, regulations, executive orders, international agreements, treaties, and that's basically what it is. And just to make a little correction, I am actually the founder of Tennessee Citizens for State Sovereignty, and the co-founder is David Vance.
Okay. And he is the host of Tennessee Informer. Is that correct?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Right. Well, we'll talk about Tennessee Informer too, and what you're doing there. So, okay. So let's talk first though about this proposed legislation you have.
Sure.
Well, how does that work?
Okay. Well, the legislation currently is HB 0726, and the Senate bill is SB 1092. And it's called Restoring State Sovereignty Through Nullification Act. And basically, it is not legalizing nullification, because nullification is already a legal option. What it does is it creates a process in which to invoke nullification. And, you know, there are five different ways listed in the legislation that we can use to invoke nullification.
Okay, and give us one example of a situation where it could be invoked.
Well, let's just talk about same-sex marriage. The Supreme Court said that same-sex marriage was a constitutional effort. It is not. They don't have the authority at the federal government or the Supreme Court level to authorize marriage. Our state constitution also basically says that marriage is between a man and a woman. So we not only had a violation of the U.S. Constitution, our governor violated the state constitution as well. And we, our assembly, the people, we had the right to nullify that action by both the federal government and the state government.
Right. And that right to nullification already exists,
yes,
per the United States Constitution, correct?
Well, yeah, it doesn't mention nullification per se, but there are sections of the Constitution that basically imply nullification. But the writings of our founders, all throughout the writings of our founders, support.
Right.
And state we have the right to nullify unconstitutional acts.
Right. And that only makes sense because, I mean, we're even taught that as children. If your parents tell you, you're supposed to obey your parents unless they tell you to do something wrong. And then it's your duty to disobey. And that's analogous to what's going on here. So our state, our local representatives, both, they all have a responsibility to protect us against these unconstitutional laws and mandates coming down from the federal government, whether it's executive, legislative, or judicial, correct?
Right, yes. And one of the arguments that some of our state assembly members give us is, well, we don't need this legislation because we already know that nullification is a valid option. In 2021, during the COVID mandates, we actually passed SJR 9005 stating that we could nullify the COVID mandates. So our assembly has already acknowledged the right to nullify, but their argument against the HB 726 is, well, we don't need, you know, this law because we already have the right to do it. And my response is, well, then you're not, why aren't you doing it? You know?
Right.
So what this does is it lays out a legally binding process that will basically force their hand in, you know, supporting actual nullification. And like I said, there's five different ways that you can invoke nullification written in this legislation.
Right. And you are working with, it's not just you, you're working with a number of legal experts on this issue to draft this legislation. Can you give us that information as well as, you know, this sounds very important for all states. Is this legislation that can be used in all states by citizens such as yourself who approach legislators and get them to introduce it?
Right. And one of the things that we are reaching out to other states, we do want other states to adopt this. South Carolina right now is actually looking at HB 726 and has it listed on their docket of potential legislation for 2024. And we would like to have other states join in so that eventually we could form a compact of states, because when the federal government makes an unconstitutional law or mandate, it doesn't just affect Tennessee. It affects every state.
YouTube had a few words when they canceled us. We had a few words for them. No more. Do more. Subscribe today and get 25% off your first year. TheNewAmerican.com.
Can counties also act in this manner? Because a county would want to be able to nullify maybe unconstitutional mandates that might come down from the state. I mean, this could affect other levels than just federal versus states, right?
Well, in my opinion, and the opinion of some of the constitutional experts that we work with, the counties and the cities were created by the state. Mm-hmm. So clearly the counties and the cities cannot nullify something from the state level, but the people can. And the states and the counties can interpose.
Okay.
Actually help us, support us, but they can't actually file an action of nullification because, like I said, they were created by the states, just like the federal government was created by the state.
By the states, yes. So the state is sovereign. And that goes back to the title, the name of your organization. And the reason I asked that was because of you've heard of all of this, the carbon capture pipelines out throughout the Corn Belt and Great Plains of the United States. They're fighting on the county levels against all of these pipelines coming through. And in South Dakota, I know right now, they've got kind of the state legislature pitted almost against the counties. County's the good guy. The state legislature right now is the bad guy. So yeah, that's the reason I asked that question. So this has implications in that arena too. So well, let's make sure that people know how to find you online and learn more and get in touch with you to spread this across the country.
Okay. Well, we have a Substack. tncss.substack.com. Right now, I only put it out once a week. When the legislative session begins in January, we'll probably put it out two times a week. I'm just basically informing the members on my Substack page, you know, the status of the legislation, what actions I need them to take in order to support getting this legislation passed.
Yeah.
I also have a website, tncss.weebly. It's weebly.com. Tons of information on that website. It lists our five constitutional experts. We have county leaders. So far, we have 19 county leaders. We have 12 legislators from the Tennessee Assembly who have actually given permission to post their names on our website supporting what we're doing. So of course we're working to get more. But that's, you know, the Substack and the website are the way you can get in touch with us and find out what we're doing.
Wonderful. What are some of the other initiatives? Because I know we've focused right now on the proposed legislation.
Yeah. The only we're trying to keep our focus very small. You know, I think one of the problems we always have is we try to solve world hunger and we end up solving nothing at all.
Right.
Our scope is very small. It is this legislation. It is also getting legislation to make silver and gold legal tender. That's already a written and sponsored piece of legislation that we want to get passed, and also to establish a precious metals depository again. And we have legislation that is written and sponsored for that as well. So they're pretty much the three items that we're going to focus on.
Fantastic. Well, I encourage everyone to visit your website. Let's talk to you real quickly about Tennessee Informer and how people can listen to your podcast.
Yes, it's tninformer.com. It's on every Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Come January, when the legislative session begins, we're going to change that to Tuesday night to make it a little more compatible to our legislators' schedule, because we do interview a lot of our Tennessee legislators. We've had Brandon Howes on our show. We have Alex Newman scheduled for January. We had Chris Ann Hall, Dr. Carol Swain. So it's a really good show. And we really encourage people, not only in Tennessee, but all over, to tune in and watch the show.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power. That kind of that kind of theme going on, right?
Right.
Well, wonderful. Well, I hope a lot of people look into what you're doing and copy what you're doing, because, you know, there's no need to reinvent the wheel here. You seem to have done all the homework and be on the right track to saving our country.
Yeah. And on our website, I have a contact form. Anybody that wants to talk with me or has questions, doesn't matter what state you're in, fill out the contact form. It comes directly to my email and I answer everything within 24 hours.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, God bless you and God bless your work. We really appreciate it. And let me know how else we can help get the word out for you.
Well, this is a big help. I really appreciate it. And like I said earlier, you know, before we close, I'd like to read a quote from Thomas Jefferson, just in case anybody has doubts that the states are not the final arbiter of the Constitution and that nullification is not a rightful remedy. I think Thomas Jefferson said it very well. The several states who formed that instrument, meaning the Constitution, being sovereign and independent, had the unquestionable right to judge of its infraction, and that nullification by those of all unauthorized acts is the rightful remedy. And that's from Jefferson. So he basically is saying that the states are the final arbiter of the Constitution, and we have the right to nullify anything that's unauthorized under the Constitution.
And he ought to know. He's one of our great founding fathers who are so disparaged these days, but he's also the author of the Declaration of Independence. So, well, that's a perfect quote. And I know that that's probably on your website too. So I encourage everyone to visit your website and find out more. And Karen, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Remember when the only uncertainty in the news was the weather forecast? And you could depend on your local newspaper to bring you the news with only a hint of bias. Nowadays, there's a deluge of news outlets striving for your attention. But surprisingly, all the narrative is from one direction. At The New American, we hold fast to the timeless truths of our founders and provide a refuge of honest reporting. Visit thenewamerican.com today and get 25% off your subscription.